Hey guys, it's Amon
and Christina
from Our Rich Journey,
and you are listening to the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're recording a day earlier than our usually scheduled recording day, but that's all right. You know, it's a beautiful day. It's always a great time to chop it up with you, Shy. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, Shy. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, hearing the news about Joe Rogan's podcast and him signing $250 million deal, it got me wishing we had a little deal coming down the pike. We've been doing this a little while, Shy, you know what I mean? But you know what? This is a labor of love. That's what I like to call this, a labor of love. But we're not blocking no blessings. So Spotify, if you're listening, holla at Marcus and Shire.
Marcus, you are so funny.
We're here for you. What do you think about that, Shire? What do you think about people getting paid that much to talk about anything, just any and everything? What do you think about that?
I think that's good for them. You know, I'm not sure who that person is, so sorry to this man, but it sounds like they have an incredible podcast that maybe I should check out.
Shy, you're one of the two people in the world who don't know who Joe Rogan is.
I'm in a box.
Yeah, he's the biggest podcaster in the world, but he doesn't really have a topic. He just talks about everything. You know, he's had Neil deGrasse, that guy you like, the scientist guy. He's had him on. Anyway, this is podcasting, and we're going to move on to our topic here soon. But podcasting has become this big thing. We were talking about this in the car. There was a moment there when everybody's like, yo, man, if you have a podcast, man, that's great, because we're all going to, something as big is going to happen to everyone in this space. So you just got to be, just keep doing it. Stay consistent, this and that. And then I feel like they gave money to a few people, and that was that. But like I said on the front end, this is like a labor of love. You know what I'm saying? This is like something we know. We would just be talking anyway. We talk all the time. Why not let other people hear what we talk about?
Okay, I mean, I can think of some reasons.
Well, Shire, let's just go ahead and have a great pod today. We got some interesting topics, a very interesting one I'm going to bring up at the end. But you found something that I think is very, very interesting, because as we transition, as our listeners transition with us, we're growing, we're gaining, we're, you know, becoming smarter financially, and we're moving up class levels, perhaps, right? So let's talk about some markers. How do we know that we've moved from the lower class to lower middle to middle to, hey, I'm sure we got some high rollers out there too now. So you might be in the upper class, but how do we know, Char? How do we know?
I mean, that's good. So we came across this article, and we're actually going to go through it together. And so it was from Finance Buzz. It says, if any of these 11 things describes you, you've climbed beyond middle class.
Okay.
And beyond middle class. Okay. Beyond. So I don't know if we're in, right, we're beyond. Right. But I think it'll be interesting to just go through these 11 things to see where we think we possibly land.
Yes.
One thing about middle class is I've always thought I was middle class.
Even when growing up.
Yeah, like even when I was like not middle class, yes. I just felt like I was middle class. So this would be really interesting. So let's see.
Yeah. It's always felt like middle class was as long as I'm not unhoused, I felt like I was middle class, because like I have a home, I have shelter, this and that. Very naive as a kid to think that.
Well, what do you think about it now?
Now, I think you could be lower class and still be and still live in a home.
So you think it's homeless or middle class?
That's what I did as a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've kind of, you know, smartened up a little bit on that one. But yeah,
I mean, I think a middle class is like, you know, you got the house or the white picket fence. Yeah, picket
fence, 2.5 kids.
2.5 children. You might even have a dog. A I mean, dog. We don't have no animals, but you yeah. might even have a dog. You know, yeah. you could take, you know, a nice vacation each year.
Yes. Like,
I think that's part of the cliche.
Little something in savings, or am I doing is that too
class.
Much?
No, you have a little bit of savings. Okay. You're middle class. You have savings. Yes. What are those little things they've been doing on Instagram?
Yes, I'm middle class. Of course, I such and such and such and such. Yeah, those are funny. I don't know who came up with those. But.
Okay, so the first indicator that you might be moving beyond the middle class is that your income is rising fast. Okay, so that's the word. Your income is rising fast. You may have asked for a pay raise or a bonus this year and actually received it. Perhaps you're simply moving up pay grades faster than expected. A rising income could be a sign that you're on your way to making more cash and might not have to worry so much about checking every little expenditure just to keep up with your budget and habits.
Okay, let's pause there real quick. I like this much. This is going to be good. This is going to be a good podcast. I feel like I felt that way a few times, right?
In your life.
In my life. Like where, man, I ain't really got a penny pinch. Like, we good. I got a little couple of dollars coming in this, you know, here that I never expected, right? It's growing. And there's been years where it's like, yeah, we need to go on and look, take a look at this budget, make sure we still locked in because it's getting tight. So I feel like I felt both of those, like an ebb and flow there. But, and this will be a whole nother podcast later, I'm sure. Shire, you've recently been blessed with a little bit of an increase. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of count. That's kind of what they're saying. You know, your money is growing.
Well, I think it's not just like, oh, what has happened in your life recently, but thinking about your career trajectory.
There we go.
And, you know, are you on an upward trajectory? Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you're going to hit your top earning years, you know, late 30s into your 40s.
Right.
You know,
right.
Usually it's your highest earning years. Right. Of course, you get into your 50s. For many people, those are their highest earning years, mm-hmm. and they're gearing up for retirement. So maybe folks are sometimes wanting to work less.
Yes.
But your income rising fast. Yeah, I think you just have to look over your life and mm-hmm. and see. But I think there have been times where you have like special projects that you're working
yes.
on.
Yes.
And which have been really great for mm-hmm. us financially. And so we have these ebbs
yes.
and flow.
That's true.
Now, is my income rising fast? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, what's the next one?
Exactly. Like fast means like I'm looking for another move, right? So we'll see. So that's a good one. Next one.
Yeah. So this next one is very interesting, and I'm actually surprised to see it. It says that you aren't worried about healthcare cost. The note here says that healthcare costs can be a major expense, even for copays and and prescriptions that can add up quickly. So healthcare, I'm not worried about it now.
I've never been worried about healthcare. Really?
Yeah.
Because we've always had healthcare coverage, and then I've always just felt healthy or felt like my family was fairly healthy. So it's like no one has like a long pre-existing
like
condition.
Like something that requires
yeah.
regular doctor visits or prescriptions. So
yeah.
if someone is dealing with like maybe a chronic illness, it could be a different experience. Mm-hmm. So good health, that's great.
Yeah.
But I think that even if you're not worried about healthcare costs, it is something that I do think about for retirement.
You think about it for retirement a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I do. And it even, you know, I don't know. Like I did change jobs recently and I went from a job that had, you know, a pension yeah. and there are some, you would receive help with yeah. your healthcare costs when you retire. Versus, you know, jumping sectors, of course, the income is different. It's mm-hmm. more, but then some of those longer term benefits aren't there. So
that's facts.
I do think about that a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried. And if it's just like present day.
Present day feels cool.
I feel okay present day. Worried.
Like when the kids need something, braces, you know, glasses, I don't feel like, man, just going to hit. I feel like, oh, yeah, we good. We good. dental work. You know what I mean?
Okay. So the next one is interesting. There's a dollar amount on here. And I actually wasn't expecting to see that in the slideshow because it is like a slideshow format. It says you make more than $130,000 a year. It says you may have reached the maximum of the range for middle class income if you're making more than $130,000 a year. Hmm. However, one major factor is the cost of living in your area. While you may be making more than $130,000 a year, it's also important to consider how much it costs to live in a particular area.
Yes.
So that is very interesting to see.
Yes.
That they have that as a benchmark. I know before we started, because I knew we were going to be talking about middle class, I did look at another article on Yahoo Finance that had, it's called What Income is Considered Middle Class in 2024. And that particular article gave a range between $50,000 and $150,000. Okay. And of course, they also mentioned where you live.
Where you live is big.
Matters, you know. So, and then also it talks about data from the U.S. Census cites that the average salary is just under $75,000, which I think that's surprising to see.
Wait, that's pretty high. Oh, you know what?
Well, that's not by like race or ethnicity, but
this is what I'll say.
And it's not median, but it is average.
That's so where I was going
looking
at.
Looking at the person making the most, that, less. And
I think with finance is one of the few things, especially when it comes to like income, is so broad that the median is the best way to measure. Better than average, because you have literally people making, because you have gazillionaires and people ain't making $0.
Exactly. Let's take out those outliers.
Yeah.
And see where we end
up. Median is probably better, but.
Okay.
But I will go with that.
But do you think that, you know, if a person's making $130,000 that they're climbing beyond the middle class? I would think so.
I think by the letter of the law, yes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about household here, Shire, right? Or are we talking about individual?
Didn't say nothing.
Oh, yeah. If you're in the 130s, you definitely in the, you know.
Maybe it could be household. But if your household income, obviously you're still in that income range that I just described from the other article.
Yes. I think you're definitely climbing out of the middle class. Like you said, a key factor is where you live. Another key factor are your expenses, man. Like, you could be making 130, but living a spending 140 a year, you know what I'm saying, or spending 120 a year to maintain your lifestyle. So at that point, are you still in the move coming out of middle class? I think if you're going just based on input, like what I receive, what my income is, then 130 feels like
you've climbed beyond the great beyond.
Yes.
Okay. The next one is you enjoy dining out as much as you want. That's the next one. And I just want to ask, I just want Marcus to tell the listeners what is in his hand right now.
The one and only Starbucks refresher. Boy, I've been sipping on this thing. This thing's so good, y'all.
This ain't nothing but no Kool-Aid. Somebody write Marcus and let him know that the Starbucks refresher is literally strawberry Kool-Aid. With maybe some grape juice and some dry strawberries.
I will agree.
I can make that at home.
I will agree. If you get the lemonade, it is very close to a sugary Kool-Aid type drink.
Okay, but I don't.
But I get just add water. So it's a refresher.
That just cheapens it even more.
Y'all, I've been drinking this. Shire hooked me up with this thing. How many years ago? Maybe 4 years? 5 years? Maybe 5 years ago. Maybe. I was like, Shire was going to Starbucks. It was mad trendy. And I was like, I mean, I want to go, but I don't like coffee. She's like, oh, yeah, they got this other drink called a refresher. I think you might like that. Y'all, I've had a refresher every day
since. I know, but I didn't introduce you to it for you to have it all the time.
But I think this speaks to when you're moving up. Like, I want this. This helps me go about my day, makes me feel better to go about the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be looking at how much I'm spending on this. Like, and I think when you're going creeping up in the middle class, the same may apply to food. When I want it, I'll get it.
Okay.
I think that's how people middle class want to feel and maybe feel when it comes to eating out. Whereas if you're not there, you're literally like, nah, we're going to eat at home today, man. We need to cut back. We need to save some money. You know what I mean? It's like almost like you're forced to eat at home as opposed to you're deciding to eat at home.
Yeah. I mean, even in that example, I think that, well, I feel that we handle our responsibilities, and if there's extra, then we do those things.
Yes. So we have entertainment separate.
I'm already making sure that my, you know, I'm contributing to my 401k. Mm-hmm. So it's like paying yourself before you get your check.
Yes. We're doing all the responsible things.
Yeah. So if I'm doing the responsible things and I have extra, then I don't mind.
Yes. Yes.
You know, going to Starbucks, you know, occasionally, but I do make coffee at home, but I also go to Starbucks too, you know, but anywho, this is not about, we're talking about you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the next one, I don't know if I'm quite there yet.
Okay.
And so this one is, you don't worry about vacation prices.
Nah, we ain't there yet.
Now, you might be worried about trying to find the best time to take off from work or coordinate with others to decide when you can take off. But you know you're reaching above the middle class, and you're not so worried about the cost of your trip, or you don't feel as prohibited from going many places due to budget constraints. I'm not there. I'm just letting you know.
We're not there. We have crossed over to Hawaii.
Oh, yes. That was like the gold standard.
That was a big step. We haven't done the travel abroad thing yet, but I'm still looking at, I'm trying to get the best deal still. I'm not to the point where I'm like, swipe the card, man.
Yeah. I'm looking for deals, but at the same time, if I'm traveling, I'm not necessarily getting the cheapest place. I have to get the places going to, like, if we're traveling with the kids, then those, you know, they're just different considerations.
But here's the deal breaker for us, y'all. This is how you know we're not checking this box. We ain't flying first class. Most people.
Oh, for no.
Most people be like, we're gonna fly first class. We like, just get us on the plane.
Yeah, we just want our seats to be like together. Somewhat, you know. So, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's we almost there. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there one day.
One day. The next one is, you don't carry any debt. And so the note here is that debt can be a big issue holding you back financially with things like a car loan, student loan, mortgage, or credit card debt. It can be liberating to crush your debt completely, or, you know, you can easily make your monthly payments. Okay, I don't know where they're going. But anywho, the big deal is you don't carry any debt.
I love this, Shire, because I feel like while maybe, and we'll decide how many boxes did we check, are we technically middle class?
Oh, I think we're middle class. This is, have you climbed beyond? Are we climbing beyond?
You have a climb beyond feel when you don't have debt.
Oh, yes.
Right? So you might not be making the 130 income. You might not be able to do all the vacations and some of these other things, but it feels like you're living in a world where you're beyond the middle class simply because you've taken away the debt. See, because a lot of high earners, like I said earlier, may have debt. So the area between what they earn and what they spend may be the same as someone making significantly less if that person making significantly less doesn't have the debt there. So I like this one because, you know, yes, it probably isn't indicative of someone who's smart with their money. And if you're smart with their money, you're probably trending out of middle class and going higher.
Yeah, but this is very interesting because I think that there are some career paths, I'm thinking like white collar career paths, where you have very high income and you still have a student loan debt. But you are living beyond middle class and you can comfortably afford to pay your bills. And then another thing, they did mention a mortgage on here. Like most people are, I don't look at a mortgage like regular consumer debt. It's just not the same, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I do agree.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. You don't worry about small purchases. So the small purchases might include clothing, mm-hmm, or that coffee. I mean,
I like,
would
this
you
one
consider that to be coffee that you have over there?
Yeah.
The pink drink.
Yeah. I like this one.
You don't worry about small purchases.
You know what I was telling you, Shire? Like, when we were having a really, it was like one of those projects that you, that I was having, it really ballooned us for a year and built, gave us some extra debt for a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you know what just feels good? It's just being able to just get gas when I need it. Mm-hmm. Pump that Joker, put that Joker on and get in your car and just get on your phone or whatever. Technically, you ain't supposed to have your phone, so Lord forgive me. But, you know, just get in your car and you ain't looking at that meter. That thing just fill up, clink, the thing clicks, it's full, you put it back on the hook and drive off.
You're not staring back at
it. Yeah, man, that was good. I like that. And I still have, you know, that started a few years back, but it's been, I've still been able to have that feeling like where I'm not penny pinching on gas or things that you need, things that like, I need gas, I need, you know, these small purchases that I think that they're talking about. It's a good feeling. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you don't think about small purchases or what you think, babe?
I think that I still hold some restraint because it can be a small purchase but have a big price. And so that's what...
Yes.
So if it's a small purchase but it has a big price, then sometimes I try to like pace myself or do I really need this? Or,
right,
you know, maybe my savings account ain't looking that good right now. Yeah. So maybe I should just wait a little bit longer. I don't know. I mean, small purchases don't bother me.
They don't stress you.
But I still need to have a little bit of restraint. So I feel like going through that debt-free journey,
it's just natural for us.
It's now. I'm like we did that for so long.
Yes.
That now it's kind of like I want to be free.
Okay. I feel
but you. At the same time, just, you know, having
some restraint.
Some restraint. You don't want to go overboard.
I'll give you a great example. When I was at the music conference the other weekend, last weekend, and I'm like, yo, Shire, I'm thinking about the DJs got to me. They sold me. I let a guy, salesman, hey, yeah, it could do this. I'm like, yo, Shire, I think I'm going to get some DJ equipment. It was like $100 or something like that. And he was like, yeah, that's all good. You know, do your thing. Can you fit it in your luggage? You know, come back. I was like, yeah, I can fit it. Man, I went the next couple day or next couple hours. I'm like, nah, man, I don't need this.
I mean, I still don't know why you didn't get it.
Because I didn't need it. You know what I mean? It's like it was in me to just, like you said, have restraint. It wouldn't have broke me. It wasn't. We had it more plenty enough to get it. But I was just like, nah, man, I could. Because, you know, it was just like I had that restraint built in me since. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
debt-free journey. So I'm like, nah, I couldn't even. I didn't do it. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I think that is a good indicator, though. I like this one.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, don't worry about small purchases. Yeah. You buy the brand names. Uh-oh.
I'm still not like this. I'm still not like this. What about you, Shire? Are you? I'm purposely looking for the generic equivalent on almost everything except shoes.
Okay. Well, they do mention clothes and shoes, but they also mention like groceries.
Yeah, I'm going generic on groceries.
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I will buy something. I'm not going to always get the cheapest thing.
Okay.
Like, for example, oh, this is so bougie of me. I started buying tomatoes, like diced. Like, if I need diced tomatoes, I'll get it in a carton. Like the one that's in a carton. Like, and it says, like, it's from Italy and it's in a carton.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that little carton you got.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to tell you the price for those tomatoes.
If you don't get the Del Monte like we used
but
to.
Sometimes the tomatoes in a can taste like they were like stored in a can.
Yeah, it tastes like can.
So I'm willing to pay $2 or maybe $3 more,
man,
to get more tomatoes in a carton that don't taste like that.
Yes.
So sometimes I do splurge. I mean, when it comes, I don't know. I feel that if you invest in
quality
pieces, they will last longer. But I don't buy like high end name brand. Like if it comes to clothes,
you're definitely not in. You're not into labels, sure.
But I am, especially as I get older. I am wanting to buy more higher quality clothing, mostly for work.
We've never been designer people though. We don't do like all that. LV.
No.
You know. I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe we do this in moderation.
In moderation. But you know what? One thing we've never been as Welsh, we've never been water snobs. Oh, I don't drink Arrowhead, or I only drink this alkaline, and that's not.
Arrowhead don't taste good to me, though.
Man, give me some. As long as it's cold, I'll drink it.
No, it's Aquafina. I don't like Aquafina.
Yeah, Aquafina kind of take out a little taste. But I can't really taste the difference. I'm not going to lie, man.
Well, I
can't taste the difference.
Honestly, we were talking about water, but we drink a lot of bottled water in this household, and yeah. I'm going to transition away from that. That's
We've
my
been saying
goal.
That for about 2 years.
No, but there's just some studies. I'm not a scientist, but there's just some studies that just not
I'm with it.
The best to drink out of the plastic bottle all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yes. Okay. So the next one is you're not worried about financial downturns. I don't know how I feel about that one. You're not worried about a financial downturn?
This is going to sound crazy, and you're going to yell, Marcus, after I'm done saying this, because I know you. I'm waiting for the next one. I'm waiting for the market to go down again, because I'm going to be lit. You see, I'm going to keep buying when it's down. Like, I'm going to keep buying. So then when it goes up again, it's going to be lit, Shire. I'm looking for another dip. 2022 was a pretty good dip, and we bought at the same rate in 2022 as we do any other year, and we're seeing the effects of it 2 years later. And you know what effects I'm talking about, but we ain't going to tell everybody our business. But I'm waiting for the next one. They don't worry me. Let me say that. I'm not worried about a downturn. Economic downturn.
You're
now,
not
layoffs
very
is different.
Worried about, okay.
Layoffs are different. Those always scare me. But I'm trusting God when it comes to those.
But you're not trusting God on the... Let me tell y'all something. Me and Marcus, we have different money personalities.
Yes.
Marcus is a risk taker. And I am very risk averse, and I'm conservative in many ways. So what you just heard from him is the risk taker part
coming
of
out.
His personality. And I think that you're not very worried about financial downturns. Sure, you're not worried because you're still relatively young and you have quite a few working years ahead of you.
Right.
However, if you were nearing retirement, a financial downturn would be devastating.
Catastrophic.
So it's not, you know, it's not the same. But but you're not worried now, so
yes.
I'll give you that one.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. We're almost to the end here. Okay. This one says you put your bills on auto pay.
Man, we've been doing that for a minute.
So you have...
Ooh, that's a good feeling, Shaq. Because remember, we used to be scared to do that now.
Oh, yeah. You pulled at the wrong time.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I haven't really even noticed that, the auto pay is kind of a flex. It's like, yeah, I got it.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe not even I got it, but I've budgeted for it. I'm good. And so, yeah, that's a good little indicator right there. What you think?
I mean, I definitely think it's an indicator. It's a time saver.
It's convenient.
It's about how you have your finances organized. Like, we don't just have one checking account. Like, we have several different accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, we have our bills on auto pay.
Yeah.
So, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. The next one is you're saving for college. Actually, I think this might actually be the last one.
Let's talk about this one.
Okay, so it says you may no longer be middle class if you're thinking about the best ways to save money for your kids' college education.
Okay. So we just talked about this recently. And
we did. Look at me. We did. What did we say?
Well, I was listening to a former professional football player, Hall of Fame player, and turned media mogul, Shannon Sharp. And he was talking about how he promised the kids college. That's all I got for you. The rest is, you know, you'll get with my passing, of course, your inheritance. But as far as what you get while I'm alive is college. And I was like, that's solid right there. I agree. Like, that's the least we could do as parents. And that's pretty much where the max we should do as parents.
That's the max we should do as parents.
Well, I mean, if you want to do more, cool. But
Marcus,
you're not.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that's a fair deal. Pay for your kids' college so that they can come out debt free, right?
Yeah.
That's more than the generations past did, but anyway. I mean,
yeah.
So with that, with our kids, do we have college funds? We have custodial accounts that we are building slowly for them. But my thought on college is I know how to get them through college and we're going to cash flow that, right? So mine is more of an active way to get them through. But maybe we should think about putting away. But I'm like, you know what? Nope. The money I'm earning now, I'm going to put away for us in retirement and investing. And then with plans to cash flow and maybe scale back the investing while they're in school to help cash flow them through college. What do you think about that?
No.
Okay. Try looking at me like, but that's really what we're doing right now. Or that's what we've.
Yeah, but that's not my. That's not.
You want to have something stored up for them?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've done like lump sum, but I think we could be a little bit more aggressive, consistent. And not
to mention we got real estate. If worst comes to worst, if I need to liquidate a home or something
or pull money out,
the college is going to be taken care of. That's kind of how I look at college. But go ahead.
Look at it like by any means necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. They ain't going to pay for college. Just that simple.
That's definitely the goal. But yeah. The key here is you're actively saving.
Actively saving. I'm not there.
Well, we've done a little bit, but I think we can definitely do more.
Yeah. I think you're right.
For sure. And the whole thing. Now, you're trying to tell me that Shannon Sharp has not helped his children financially. It might have been with the vehicle.
Spidey. Or, yes. Yes.
So, I mean, you're. He's multimillionaire.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not.
But I thought it was interesting that even someone with that type of coin, which we assume he has a lot of money, is even like, of course, he does. My kids are not going to get.
Because your kids are going to also. But Marcus, your kids are going to also benefit from your connections.
True.
And.
That's true.
I mean.
Well, let's not even talk about. Internship,
jobs. I mean.
Facts. Well, let's not even talk about Warren Buffett. He's talking about he ain't going to get his kids nothing. He a billionaire, so I'm just trying to do like the rich do. Ain't that what they say?
Do like, you crazy.
Nah, but.
Okay, so I think that we've actually gone through all 11.
All of them. Oh, wow.
Have we climbed beyond the middle class? I think we got maybe 9 of 11.
Wow, maybe. You think so?
Maybe. I mean, clearly this is an opinion piece, so it's not.
We didn't. Came up, huh? We didn't got it out the mud, as they say, huh, Char?
We trying to get it out the mud. We trying.
You know, this is good. It's a good gauge. I know, like you said, it's very speculative, but it's a pretty good gauge to kind of like, all right, maybe I got five. I thought we got maybe 5 or 6 of the 11.
Marcus, I thought we had most of them.
Okay. So this is interesting, and it's a good gauge to just see where you are. I went on this rant maybe a year ago about like, when heading into the recession, which clearly looks like we're either coming out of or it's just looking a lot brighter. But
heading into all the layoffs going on?
A lot of layoffs coming, yeah. I don't know, y'all. I can't call it no more. But going into the recession, the goal should be to try to get on the other side of the middle class line because it's safer over there. That was kind of my theory, and I forget what statistic I was using, but it's good to just try to get as high as you can because when you come bad times, naturally you may experience a bump down through a loss of a job or just inflation in general. And so, you know, the goal should be, man, let's climb up this hill as high as we can get it because middle class is too close to lower middle or poverty for me. I'm trying to get to the upper class so that the middle class is the border, you know what I'm saying, between me and poor. So, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It is.
Well, Shia, I wanted to talk about this interesting article and get your thoughts on this. Yeah. So, as many of you know, we're from Northern California. We're from Sacramento. And I'm not ashamed to say it anymore, Shia. I'm from Sactown, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, the 916.
Yeah, the Kings and Cat Williams done put us on the map.
And put us on the map, man, you know. And so... we've always had this interesting relationship with Oakland. I've talked about it. Oakland has its own lingo, its own culture.
Style.
Its own style. I mean, we couldn't be more different but yet be so close to a town.
Yeah.
As we are. And In-N-Out Burger, y'all. World-renowned food chain out here in the West Coast. Very popular in the West Coast, y'all. Mm-hmm. In-N-Out Burger recently announced it will close its location in Oakland, claiming rising crime is making it unsafe for customers and employees.
Wow.
The restaurant is profitable, of course. It's In-N-Out Burger. But there was concern for safety for the customers and employees.
Now, go ahead, read the next sentence.
It says, it cited car break-ins, robberies, and other crimes as reasons for its closure.
So you can't even go get a burger.
Can't get a burger. Shire, Oakland is iconic in so many ways. Like, much like Detroit, when you hear Oakland, Detroit, Baltimore, it's notorious, but it's iconic all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? From the music to the culture to the sports to all of that, the history. But it's really sad what's going down with Oak Town, man. Like, you can't park your car there, y'all. Me and Shire were there, and we parked our car downtown. We were eating at a restaurant with friends, and come back to the car broken into.
I don't even know if the car was broken into.
It was broad daylight.
Our window was completely busted out.
And I'm walking past the person in front behind us.
Their window.
And I'm like, oh, man, somebody got the person behind us. Man, that sucks for
them. It was like.
Walk up to mine. They done got us, too.
Yeah. Just busting windows.
Busting windows. Broad daylight, y'all. Downtown.
But why do you do that to me? Like,
it's just unfortunate. The Warriors, within the span of 2 years, the Golden State Warriors have moved to San Francisco. The Oakland Raiders have moved to Las Vegas. And the Oakland A's have announced they're moving to Vegas as well. You know, we talk about Silicon Valley and the Bay Area and how much that boom was from like 08 to like 2016. I mean, it was just lit. A blade of grass in the Bay Area will run you about $100,000.
Marcus.
Like, and to see how the poverty had just like eaten up the city because of how expensive it is. People turn to crime. People turn to just like, man, I'm just out here trying to survive, man. You know, and it's just really unfortunate. What do you think, Shire? What are your thoughts on the Bay Area and Oakland specifically shutting down an In-N-Out Burger? That's a staple in any city in California.
I know. Yeah, I think it's really sad because when a place like In-N-Out Burger closes, obviously it's taking, you know, jobs are going with it.
Yes.
Some people work there and were probably, you know, depending on that for their livelihood. Mm-hmm. And now not only was the place you were employed at unsafe for you because of robberies and other crimes, and you still showed up.
Yeah.
Man, despite that. Now it's closing.
Wow. Well.
And I, you know, so I don't, something needs to be done. Like, I don't know that I'm going to go back to Oakland. I love that restaurant we went to. It was great. It was definitely a vibe. But just to go there to visit, to get a meal for maybe 2-3 hours and to have my window busted out. I don't know.
You know what I like to look at it like, Shire, in a positive view? Maybe this is a detoxing of the area or
a
recycling of the area,
What's
right?
What's that mean?
To where it got to get bad before it gets better type vibes. Like when everybody pulls out of the city and they can't even have an In-N-Out freaking burger, maybe somebody be like, y'all, we got to make a change, y'all. We got to do something. And then maybe it'll be able to be revitalized and, you know, reimagined. Because like I said, Oakland is just an iconic place.
Well,
what
will get us there?
Might have to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately.
I mean, what town got worse before it got better? What would be the catalyst to turn that around? I don't even know.
I don't know.
You know, the crime is just, it's bad. Like, I literally just Googled, like, what is going on in Oakland.
You see the smash and grab videos on TikTok going viral, and people just, it's just like, man.
Yeah.
But what happens is it just became almost impossible to live there. It came too expensive to live there. You know, and it's not even like, what I say about the whole Silicon Valley movement, Shire, is only thing that happened was you living in a place, there's nothing special about the place. It's not worth a whole bunch. But this industry that brings, that is so important to the world, decides to just set up shop next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this industry is so powerful, and it brings in so many dollars, so many eyeballs, that your property value just like started to get expensive. You like, we ain't even did nothing, which is good in a sense, but it began to price people out of the area via property tax rising, via all these, you know, cost of living going up. And you're like, I can't even live here no more simply because this entire industry is so massive and it's down the street from me. And so people just didn't know, they ain't got nothing else to do, you know? And so now Silicon Valley is not even what it was. People are moving to Austin, Texas to do their tech stuff. And Charlotte is bigger in the tech sector now. And now we just got ruins left.
You know, I grew up, of course, you know, single parent household. Mm-hmm. And there were tough times financially, but never did the thought of becoming a criminal or someone who's violent ever cross my mind, you know, or anyone's mind.
Yeah.
For that matter. So I know that it is a difficult place to live. Financially, it is hard for a lot of people. And a lot of people have moved to Sacramento. Yep. They've moved to other places.
Everybody I know from the state.
But I don't think that's the only reason why, you know, there's crimes. And there's actually a lot of violent crimes in Oakland as well. So I don't think that's the only reason why, but I definitely think that it's a factor.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would really, of course, love to see that city turn around. And yeah, I don't know what it would take. And I'm looking at this article on CNN. And they're talking about, like, the NAACP's response and how they're calling on city officials to do more.
Do they have a doggone city official? Like, do they have a mayor? Like,
of course they have a mayor.
Don't seem like, it just seemed like anarchy. It's, like, I ain't gonna front. Anytime I pulled through, and it's just so much history and so much lore to that city that it's just unfortunate. And I'm hoping for the best. And quiet as it's kept, it's starting to, whatever that is creeping its way to San Francisco as well. San Francisco's starting to look a mess too.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be honest with you.
Yeah. So. We definitely need a change in this area. And it's really like we're talking about In-N-Out Burger, how businesses can't even keep their doors open. Mm-hmm. Well, they can, but they said it was profitable, but it's at risk of car break-ins, robberies, and other crimes for its closure. That's really sad.
Unfortunate, man. Prayers to the Oak Town and the people of Oakland, man. Hopefully there'll be a change that's going to come here soon. But we're going to be over here up the road if you need us, Sacramento. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you did, do us a massive favor. And some of you are already doing it. So I want to thank you. And I'm going to put Shire on the spot here in 1 second, y'all. But thank you in advance for leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. Shire, we have a gift. And while I got you on the spot, when are we going to give it to the people and how are we going to give it to them? All right, we're going to talk about that off mic.
We'll talk about it off mic, but we're getting something ready.
Yes, we got something for y'all. So this is not the time to not tune in, right? This is the time to lock in and stay tuned to Black Married Debt Free, because we got some dope stuff coming. The interest rates are coming down, y'all. The Fed dropped the interest. It's getting a little bit more, you know, the market is heating up. We know y'all been wanting to get into this real estate game, and we're going to be the ones to help you do it. So stay tuned. Till next time, we out. Peace.
Bye.